And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Tonight. 2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. No! Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, with help from R2-D2 and a squad of captured battle droids, an elite team of Jedi and clone troopers led by Obi-Wan and Anakin attempt to free a captive Jedi General, Evan Peel, from an impenetrable prison. I'm sorry, I have a cat on me, she's distracting me. They will be Ahsoka being sneaky, infiltrating a deadly prison, and the Clone Wars introduction of fucking Tarkin. We're talking about the Citadel this week. Oh my god, cat, stop it! This was a terrible plan, I'm sorry. How you doing, Chris?
Is a cat penetrating your impenetrable prison?
She's licking my fingers.
Yeah.
As I'm trying to scroll.
Is she the kind of cat that she's gonna try and climb up on your keyboard eventually?
No, she's one of those cats that will sit in your lap and then lick you from your fingertips to your shoulder if your skin is exposed.
Yeah, it was weird. It's always seems like the cats that really do that a lot are, and I know your cat isn't a Siamese, but Siamese cats we had a Siamese cat and it would work every inch of your hands, and then it loved to get onto the knuckles. And it would get to the knobby parts of the knuckles and sort of chew on them, too. I guess trying to soften them up or something. I don't know. It was never painful, but, you know, it was just like... It was like an old Asian woman doing, like, working on your hands and then, like...
Yeah, our kids are mutts. We think they weren't, like, weaned correctly because her sister licks, too, but not like she does. So she's definitely the licker of the two. Like, she'll lick your skin and then just, like, put her head on it and lay on it just because, like, it smells like me now. You smell like me now, human.
Yeah, cats get all sorts of weird quirks. You get the ones that are breath suckers. You ever had a breath sucker cat?
No, but my friend has one.
They're creepy. The ones that you think, you know that they're coming in the middle of the night and just, like, eating your soul.
Yeah. And then my friend also had another cat, different friend. That would just sit there and just lick her hair as she slept.
Hmm?
Just her hair. No other part of her. It would just lick her hair, so. So. Don't eat my phone charms. Stop it. Are you having a good week, Chris?
I am. This is the first episode of J-Guys and Jedi recorded and edited on my new computer.
Yay!
Yep, finally. It's all set up. I got all my software installed.
Yeah.
And tested now. It's all working better than before.
I'm salty today.
I heard your show got canceled.
I am saltier than fried salt pork, which we call fatback down here. If you ever have fatback, it's just like taking the fatty part of bacon and deep frying it. And when you bite, you know when you have that like really fatty part of bacon, you bite into it, it just disintegrates in your mouth if it's like super crispy.
Oh yeah.
It's like that, only it's about the size of a slab of bacon. It's not just like a tiny strip and there's like a pork rind to it. And I'm saltier than salted fried salt pork. Timeless got canceled, guys, and I'm sad, and I know I've quoted it a few times, and I hope it gets picked up, but NBC is stupid.
I know nothing about that show.
Other than the fact that I've talked about it in Matt Lanterns on it, and they make Star Wars jokes.
Oh, okay. Then yeah, yes, Matt Lanterns, I do remember.
Yeah, who is the voice of Anakin in Clone Wars is on that show, and he's dropped two Star Wars jokes on the show because they're wonderful. But the thing that gets my goat about it, this is how TV works. They renewed two shows that had less ratings than Timeless, but since Timeless was a more expensive show, it got canceled.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And his stupid spokes. It's stupid. And my cat's like, I don't care. Now I'm just watching my phone for...
At least they didn't cut the budget and give it the death of a thousand tiny cuts where you got to watch it become cheesy as they couldn't pay good writers and for good special effects and stuff like that.
Like, it might get saved if it gets picked up by another network. And
right.
But it's very doubtful because... But the Smithsonian was just like, this is a good show. And when the Smithsonian is praising you, it's a good show. But, I mean, it just sucks. And no, I've had my phone on notification.
The Smithsonian, that carries a lot of weight with us nerds, but I don't know if it carries as much weight with the suits who do all the financial decisions, you know what I mean?
I know. And now I'm just watching my phone to see if Once Upon a Time gets renewed or not, because this is the week. This is the week. 10 shows have gone down in the first 3 days of this week, so it'll be sometime this week. It sweeps! This is what we call in TV. It's called sweeps. So, sweeps week.
I'm pretty sure nothing I'm watching is in any danger, but I don't watch very much, so...
Well, technically, you could call Rebels, because it has an end date.
It does have an end date, yeah. That's true. I don't know if it's canceled as much, though, as just, like... I mean, technically, it is canceled. But it's not like, oh, this isn't making any money and nobody's watching it, you know? It's more like, all right, well, we're going to draw a line on this time period and... Or, what you know, or whatever, this angle, and go to another angle. So I don't feel that, you know, with the cancellation of Rebels, I don't feel like there's going to be, you know, this time period where I'm like, oh my God, there's no Star Wars on TV. You know, I just don't think it is going to happen. So, and also on top of that, I don't think I'm going to be going, oh geez, I hope, you know, there's no Star Wars animated Dave Filoni cartoon on TV. I think that's going to be... We're going to have those for a long time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they already... Because since it takes like a year and a half to make, I'm pretty sure they're probably already...
They're probably already in the development of it, yeah.
Yeah, because I know Warwick Davis last month finished up recording his lines for season 4 of Rebels. Like, they're finishing up the audios and putting it together for it to come out in the fall. And if it takes a year and a half to make... I wouldn't be surprised if by next summer we hear something, at least start seeing trailers.
If anything, with Disney, they're not falling behind with Star Wars. They're ahead of the game. They already, like, you know, are bringing out Episode 9 earlier. So they're not messing around. And I mean, these days. When you think of stuff like Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead and these sort of big-budgeted TV shows, genre TV shows, and not only are they setting a precedent of, you know, you can make shows like this and make it worth it, but at the same time, they're creating whole crews of people who know how to make, who have the technical ability and experience to make those shows.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, you know, now you don't have to scramble for people or whatever. It's becoming a template and it's becoming a way of doing things. And, you know, and when you think about that, and a movie's only 2 hours long and there's people making whole seasons of movie quality, you know, filming and editing and writing, you start thinking, yeah, you could probably put out top quality Star Wars movies every year. Well, they are, but you know, numbered ones, you could just keep doing that every year and not have to worry about the quality be going down and having to spend the 3 years in production. You could just overlap it. Very exciting.
I did read a really interesting article talking about how, like, nerds only care about the Smithsonian stuff like that. It was pretty clear that, politically-wise, the article was a bit biased, but they brought up a point that I never really thought of before. And they were talking about how none of the characters in Star Wars read.
Well, yeah, that's George Lucas purposely said he didn't want any paper in Star Wars.
But it wasn't like they're like this person was writing from the point of view as a journalist, and he was like, "How do people get their news in Star Wars?" And they're like, "Yeah," and they actually were like, "Yeah, there's the HoloNet and stuff like that, which brings in like whole propaganda things and stuff like that."
Sure.
But he was like, "No one reads in Star Wars. How does you know?"
Well, It might have been the same article or just a similar article where the guy brought up the point of like maybe that's why you can have things go to hell so quickly, because the only way it's like the only real way of passing stuff on is orally, and that's why you can have. By the time, you know, Star Wars is going on, they're just like the Jedi Knights, the mystical knights from 20 years ago, and by The Force Awakens, they're like, Luke Skywalker, I thought he was just a myth.
I think it was like a Washington Post article, and it came out on May the 4th.
Yeah, I think...
Maybe it was New York Times.
It was one of the... I read the same article, And it's a good point, and then there's a guy who's pointed out in the new trailer for The Last Jedi that those are the first books we've seen in Star Wars.
Yeah, because the only other time I can think of a character ever reading is in the background of one shot of Rebels. Hera is kind of sitting sideways in a chair, and she has a tablet, and she's reading from this tablet. That's the only time I can ever think of a character reading.
Well, I can imagine... A lot of what's contained in the Jedi library when they go and put it on the readout is text, you would think, you know?
Yeah, but everything that we've seen from the Jedi libraries in Attack of the Clones, Obi-Wan was looking for Kamino, and it was in, like a deleted scene or something. He was looking through planet archives.
Yeah, and it's, and like, then, maps and stuff.
And then in Clone Wars, we've seen Ahsoka looking for bounty hunters.
Right.
So there don't seem to be, like, actual, like, textbooks. They just seem to be, like, records of things.
But if she was reading about, like, ancient Jedi prophets or something, there might be... You know, a picture of a guy and then a long article about him underneath it. I don't know. I mean, they've got, you know, the an actual text for reading, at least a sort of galaxy text.
Yeah, because we know there's Arabish, so...
Arabish. I never can remember the name of it. But, that might be an element developing in... I don't know if George Lucas meant that to be a...
The Last Jedi, it's actually secretly an episode of Reading Rainbow.
That would be awesome.
It teaches everybody how to read.
We find out that there's a new character played by LeVar Burton.
Yeah! And then, like,
it's Jar Jar, and he pulls off his mask, and he's LeVar Burton underneath.
And then, like, Wishbone the dog comes in, and he's dressed up like, I don't know, like the Phantom of the Opera, and he's just like, I'm here to tell you about books. What's the story, Wishbone? That might have been after your time, because I was a kid.
I hated reading Rainbow with a burning passion, because I hated the way LeVar Burton... It's funny because LeVar Burton is so beloved to me now from Star Trek. But before that, I hated LeVar Burton because I always felt that he talked down to kids. And every time I saw Reading Rainbow, he was like, hi, everybody! Blah, 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 blah. And I was too old and grumpy to be seduced by the, you know... I mean, Reading Rainbow has, you know, done so much good in the universe... that it's hard to criticize it. But he rubbed me the wrong way. And when I found out he was going to be on Star Trek, I was pissed. And I was like, he's actually perfect in this role. He's a great actor. I mean, before Reading Rainbow, he was known for Roots. And Roots, and I mean, he would have won... If Roots was a movie, he would have won Oscar for Best Actor. You know, he was amazing in Roots.
Did you ever see Wishbone?
No.
That was like my version of Reading Rainbow. It was the adventures of this like little dog, and they would act out books, and he would always play like they would dress this little dog up in the, like, you know, if it was the Three Musketeers, they would dress like this little dog up as like a musketeer, and he would like act it out and stuff like that.
Was he a real dog or was it a cartoon?
It was a real dog, but they had like a guy doing the voiceover for him. And so like what happened, like his human was a teenager, and this human would like have some like daily problem, and he would relate it back to a book. And he'd be like, oh, that's sort of like what happened in this book. And then they would like flash over to the book, and the dog would be acting out the situation. Like, and so that was like my reading rainbow when I was a kid. It was Wishbone. It had a dog. I actually had a stuffed Wishbone. I think I still have it like in my storage somewhere.
My introduction to reading was total boredom.
Total. Well, I guess I shouldn't say my introduction to reading. It was my introduction to have of like a book show. Because, like, you know, I watched Reading Rainbow in school and stuff like that, but, like, it was Wishbone that I was just like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, Bugsy's Falcon.
The closest I had my age was Electric Company, and that was just reading in general.
Yeah, like, I didn't know what a Maltese Falcon was, but I remember that episode of Wishbone when I was a kid. So, all right, well, we should probably get started.
Oh, yeah, Star Wars.
We are still talking about Star Wars.
Yes,
so.
We are.
We're talking about how people don't read in Star Wars. Maybe that would have helped fucking Tarkin out.
Well, they're going to start reading pretty soon, according to The Last Jedi, so they better get their space glasses on.
Yep. Let me see how many times I misspelled Citadel and all this. Citadel is one of those words...
Nobody
like,
will ever know.
Yep.
Well, right, now they know.
What?
Now they know every time you say it, but... Oh, no, only the underlined ones. But you got it right sometimes and wrong some other times.
Citadel is one of those words that, like, in my head, it's different. So, like,
I pronounce it Citadel, so I would spell it like you spelled it with an I, which is incorrect, but it's Citadel. But
yeah,
I always say Citadel.
Head, I always have to remember there's an A in there, so...
Yeah, I would tend to spell it with an I, too.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
You know I'm ready.
The Citadel is the 62nd episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on February 18th, 2011. It was written by Matt Michnovitz and directed by Kyle Dunleavy. I'm so sorry if I just mispronounced your name, Mr. Matt. And some extra episode information. Number one, I just want to point out that Matt Michnovitz wrote not only the Citadel arc, but also my top favorite arc of all of Clone Wars, which is the four Umbara episodes in season four. He also wrote The Lost Commanders in Stealth Strike, two prominent Rex and Clone episodes in Star Wars Rebels. So Mr. Michnovitz, you can write Star Wars and Clones for me anytime. Tarkin makes his Clone Wars debut as a captain for the Republic. He is voiced by Steven Stanton, who also has voiced many characters in Clone Wars and Rebels, including Mos Amita, AP5, and most recently, Old Ben Kenobi. The Carbon Freezing plot was previously employed in the Clone Wars graphic novella, The Clone Wars Shipyard of Doom. However, since Skywalker remarked that this is the first time this tactic was applied in the episode, this introduced a continuity error, as the events of shipyards took place some time before the episode. However, this contradiction was removed when the graphic novella was put into the Legends continuity in 2014. Constructed in 522 BBY, the Citadel was originally designed by the Galactic Republic to hold rogue Jedi Knights. During the Clone Wars, it fell under the control of the Confederacy of Independent Systems, which conquered Lola Seyu, which is the planet, very early in the war. Way, 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 way back in the first episode of the season, in Clone Cadets, we saw the Domino Squad with Fives and Echoes going through basic training, and they had to conquer what was called a Citadel. That Citadel that they trained on was modeled after this prison for this episode, and that's how the clones trained. Jedi Master Evan Peel first appeared in The Phantom Menace, and he also participated in the first battle of Geonosis in Attack of the Clones. Here we go. In the episode Featurette, Dave Filoni says, Season 1 of Clone Wars, Henry Gilroy and I bantered about a couple different ideas we wanted to try, things that we thought would be neat. That was back in the Uber fan days, as we call it, when we were quoting the movie left and right and having rancors running all around. Among the ideas as fans we thought would be cool is we had to have carbon freezing in the show. That would be cool. So we had this season 3 story meeting, and we were working with George Lucas. We were discussing how these guys are going to get through the Citadel. I remember that Henry and I had talked about this thing a long time ago, and I went, Well, what if they froze themselves and used carbon freezing to get through? Droids, of course, are non-organics, and they could get past the scanner. Any living thing the scanner would detect unless you were able to freeze yourself, slowing your heart rate and your biosigns down. The droids wouldn't realize that they were living things on the ship. Matt Michnovitz, who's writing the Citadel and a huge fan, goes, "Yes, that would be awesome!" And George went for it. Again, you have to have reasons to do these things. It turned out it was a good reason, and it worked for the Citadel to put the idea of carbon freezing. Now we get to go through another dilemma that a lot of fans hold on to the concept that when Han was frozen in carbonite, that this was somehow the idea, that this was the first time it had been done. I don't know where that comes from, because Vader knows that there's a crew on Cloud City that should be able to freeze Skywalker. Somehow, they know that this process is going to work. It's almost like he's done it before, and then like Dave Filoni like winked at the camera and stuff. That was enough loose logic that it would probably be Anakin's idea. Funny thing is you apparently can't have carbon freezing chambers unless you have an Ugnaught running it. I'm sort of imagining that the Ugnaught must be very good at carbon freezing. They know a lot about it, and because we got an Ugnaught running the machine. When you open the box to install your home carbon freezing chamber, is the Ugnaught there? Maybe he delivers it. Is he in the box? I don't know. But it's just a neat little nod back to Empire Strikes Back to have an Ugnaught there. Best carbon freezers in the galaxy.
No, it makes sense. When I worked at a Mexican place, we had a tortilla machine that was gigundous.
I thought you were about to say you had an Ugnaught there.
No, but we had our own version of an Ugnaught because we bought this tortilla machine from Mexico, and whenever it broke down, we had to fly somebody from the plant from Mexico to come here and fix it. So, you know, there would always be this, you know, like one, this, it was always the same guy flying from Mexico City and staying in Rochester for 3 days while he worked on it. So, yeah, the Ugnaughts probably, like, are good with the technology, so they're around running it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I say.
You know who's also good at running things in bed?
Oh. Yoda has a running sore he has to take care of.
Yeah, that sounded very painful. Yoda, are you okay over there?
Yoda's been better.
Aw, what's going on, buddy?
Yoda needs a shot of penicillin.
What happened?
It's a PG-rated 13 show.
Oh.
Yoda won't get into it. Yoda did get into it.
Actually, I kind of feel you on that one. And this is real life. Yesterday, my coworker kind of stopped and she looked at her wrist, her right wrist, and went, "Huh, I have a rash on my wrist. It's kind of itchy. I didn't notice it before." And then I woke up this morning and I went, "Huh, there's a rash on my right wrist. And it's kind of itchy. I didn't notice it before." Oh. I don't know if there's something going around my store that's like giving us rashes.
Oh.
I guess we'll see. So.
Okay.
Sorry, that was off topic. So, our space platitude with Yoda. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Adaptation is the key to survival in bed.
And you know, I get that. You know, things change over time with, like, partners and stuff, so yeah. You gotta be able to adapt to it.
Yeah. Adopt, adapt, and improve, the motto of the round table.
Yeah, so I think it works. I like it. I like it a lot.
At least he didn't say adoption is the key to survival in bed.
Oh,
that's really creepy. Really creepy.
Adoption. I'm trying to figure that one out in my head.
Yeah, don't. Better just
all right, so act one.
Better let that one just drop to the ground. Yes, act one.
I think we're thinking two different things, because I'm like, if you adopt somebody in bed, then it's a threesome.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about you go to the orphanage and go like,
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry.
Act one. Act one. Out in the Outer Rim, Jedi Master Evan Peel was captured by the Separatists. He carries important information about a super secret hyperspace lane called the Nexus Route. Now the Jedi are planning a rescue from a deadly prison called the Citadel. Plo Koon, Obi-Wan, and Anakin meet with their clone captains, commanders, and actual adorable cinnamon rolls, Fives and Echo, from the Domino Squad, who are now newly appointed ARC Troopers! Yay, Domino Squad! Oh my gosh. So again, way off note. For the 4th, May the 4th, take it with a grain of salt, because I always take this website with a grain of salt. The Mary Sue, somebody wrote an article about the importance of the clones in Clone Wars, and they were like, and everyone's favorite Domino Squad, who one by one falls like dominoes, and I was just like, oh!
Oh no!
I forgot! That I was like, I never put that together! They're literally dominoes falling one by one! It hurt my soul. I never put it together, and I was in pain for like an hour after reading it.
I guess they set that up just right.
Hooray, Domino Squad. Anyway, everyone is like, well, the Citadel is hard to get into, and the Separatists are dicks, and they made it even harder to get into. And they have all they have is super old maps of the Citadel to go off of, which isn't really encouraging, if any confidence in anything. It's super important to them to rescue Master Peel, though. The Nexus Route goes into the heart of both the Separatists and the Republic systems and could change the tide of the war. Everyone is super serious. Afterwards, the Jedi are a bit stumped about how to get past the lifeform scanners. But Anakin's like, I got a bit of a crazy idea about this. Ahsoka hurries in apologizing for being late and is super ready for this mission to rescue Master Peel. Plo Koon and Obi-Wan awkwardly walk away, leaving Anakin with his Padawan. And Anakin's like, here's the thing. You're not coming. And Ahsoka is like, dude, stop trying to protect me and stop acting like my dad. We all know that Obi-Wan is the dad in all of this. I just want to learn more. And Anakin is very clear that this is not a learning mission. This is a high possibility of dying mission. And he leaves a very pissed off Ahsoka. In the hangar, R2-D2 leads a group of battle droids. They give C-3PO quite a fright. And R2 is like, these are my droids, and I'm a commander, whee! And C-3PO is all huffy because R2 gets a commanding role and got big for his britches or whatever. And nearby, Fives is like, guys, this is a terrible plan. And Cody tells him to button it up. Ahsoka goes out of Plo Koon and complains about Anakin not letting her go. And she flat out says it's not Anakin's choice to pick and choose her missions. And Plo says, hey, he's your master. But Ahsoka argues that it's her life, and she should be the one that chooses whether or not it's too dangerous to endanger her life. And Anakin puts his plan in motion to get past the droid scanners. It's carbon freezing everyone, just like Han Solo. Again, Fives is like, this is a pretty sketchy plan, guys. But in the end, Obi-Wan, Cody, Anakin, Rex, Fives, and Echo get carbon froze to get transported to the Citadel. What'd you think of Act 1?
It was a relief to be back to sort of brick-and-mortar plot.
Oh, I know, right? After, like, a half a season of politics and then fucking Mortis arc.
And I'm good on seeing a story with fleshy Yoda or one-eyed Yoda Chucky.
Yeah, and to have like actually a mission with the clones again too. It's been a while since we've really had a good clone episode too. Like having them there and talking and interacting.
And I love that R2 has a comedy droid army.
I know.
And they're just as stupid and droidy, you know, they aren't like all drained of life. they're the same stupid personalities.
I think I had that note in Act 2, but like when they were trying to sneak in, they're like, shh, don't blow the mission, you're gonna blow it. I was like, I love you, battle droid. Yep. I love you.
I would be really pissed if I was Anakin and found out that Ahsoka went over my head like that.
Oh, we're not there yet, because I got notes about that too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I mean, we see her going over his head, or making the attempt anyway. But, yeah, and then I had notes to the effect of, hey, where did Vader get that carbon freezing idea? But I guess Dave Filoni already covered that.
I like that he's thinking about stuff like that, though, because, like...
I like that Anakin sort of likes the idea of carbon freezing, you know?
You know, the thing that, like, gets me, though, is everybody was, you know, when Han Solo got carbon frozen in the second movie, everybody was just like, oh my gosh, Han Solo is dead. And they clearly were like, he's alive. And apparently they wanted, like, that's when Harrison Ford was just like, please kill Han Solo. So, like, I'm wondering if there's, like, a huge apparent danger of being carbon frozen for so long that it could kill you. I just don't know enough about carbon freezing.
I got the impression that maybe, like, Han Solo, like, they wanted to put Skywalker in it, and they had it more tuned to Skywalker for however they would know how to do that than to someone like Han Solo. So they were like, yeah, we'll test it on him, you know? Mm-hmm. And that'll be a good way for the bounty hunter to... And also, I think it's riskier for Solo because they were just going to be carting him around for a while and hanging him up in Jabba's palace, whereas these guys
That's
are just
true.
Going for a couple hours, and they're Jedi and trained clones, too, so they're a little more, you know, physically tuned to the stresses of it, I would imagine.
I feel like Han Solo to work out, he's one of those guys who, like, eats a bear claw and then goes on a mission, and that's his workout schedule.
Right. His workout comes from, like, carrying crates of stuff into the Falcon and running away from danger, and that would be about it.
And then have a bear claw. And then Chewie would just be like,
yeah. He's got Chewie. Chewie's the muscles, you know. He's the brains. Chewie's the muscles.
Hey, Chewbacca is very smart.
Well, he's also the tech, too. And he's probably, he's probably everything.
I mean, we know at the end of this season that Chewie does come, and he's like a ward captain or general or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I could see that. I mean, Chewie didn't want to go running down a hallway that he knew was dangerous, and he was just shaking his head. So Chewie's smart. He has that animal instincts. So.
Yeah. That's all I got for notes for the first part. I'm just happy to be back in a shoot-em-up rescue.
Yeah.
With battle droids and
clones.
R2 and 3PO and and the most Jedi stuff being, you know, lightsabers and parkouring.
Not like bullshit force users that
right.
just ping our poor Jedi around everywhere.
Right, not a trip to the cosmic universe.
So I only really had three notes for this, and these are actually all my biggest notes for the episode. well, sort of. So when Anakin has to tell Ahsoka she's not coming, do you see Obi-Wan's little smile? Like, he just smiles at Anakin and just, like, makes the sassiest face that kind of just says, oh, Anakin, you're now in my position that I was in when I was teaching you as a Padawan.
It's the face grandparents make looking at their kids.
Yep, because he just smiles at Anakin and, like, turns and just smiles at him and walks away. I'm just like, Aunt, oh, Obi-Wan, you're so sassy. I love you. Okay, so here's my two really big notes for the episode. So remember way back at the beginning of the season when I was talking about Clone Cadets and how I kept saying that we need to watch Fives, and Fives is important, and keep an eye on Fives throughout the entirety of the show, right?
Yes.
And it was the death of 99 that started spurring changes in Fives. Well, here we go again with him. Like, the very first line that Fives says in this episode is expressing doubt in this plan. He was just like, you know, this is not a good plan. Like, we're supposed to let droids lead us? Like, he's doubting these plans. And he's supposed to be a clone, and clones follow orders, and they don't question orders. And first thing that Fives says is, this is dumb. This is a bad plan. And that is not what clones are supposed to do.
But at the same time, I think also, I think you're absolutely right. But I also think it would be sort of be natural. I think, like, probably going on a mission with Anakin and Obi-Wan, there's a lot of counter to your clone training stuff going on there. And mm-hmm. it probably takes you a few missions with them to go like, oh, okay, they don't do things the normal way and it works out, you know?
That's the thing. It was Cody that told... Cody has been with Obi-Wan since the beginning, and he's the one that told Fives to pretty much just shut it up. To, like, stop doubting and shut up. So, like, he's still following that clone kind of, you know, must follow orders and do what they say. But Fives is starting to think differently. Like, because Echo didn't say it was all Fives, and he's the only one in this entire episode has... really concerns about this mission.
And but Cody also knows that Anakin and Obi-Wan have a pretty good record for mission success too at this point.
Yeah, and I can see that too. It also would be really boring if all the clones were just always following. And
well,
that's what makes
like a normal clone might just roll his eyes a little and not verbalize it like Fives would, you know?
Yeah, but he's starting to get to that point a little bit of where he's starting to, like, he wasn't doing that at the beginning of the season, but now that he's, I think it also helps that he's an ARC trooper. He's not just, like, a run-of-the-mill trooper. He's in a much higher position,
right,
like Rex and Cody.
Right.
And so I think he knows that if he vocalizes stuff, there's not going to be, like, a punishment for it. But he's definitely, you know, like, starting to become more vocal about things, and it's starting to come about in this season and during all this, so it's nice to see that his character is starting to get to those places that will continue pulling him throughout the season. So, and then my other note was this season for Ahsoka, to me, is the beginning of her starting to have doubts with the entire Jedi Order about Anakin and about this entire thing. Because we've seen her teaching Mandalorian kids about corruption while some of that is already happening in the government. And she starts seeing that when she meets Mina and Lux from the Separatist side, and she saw that they were very normal people. And then on Mortis, her own doubts in Anakin were brought out by the Sun, which brings us to this episode, where Ahsoka is questioning Anakin making choices for her. Like, yes, he's her master, but he's deciding if something is too dangerous for her. And Ahsoka from here on out is going to be interesting to watch, because just about every episode will be pushing her to either follow the Jedi rules or go against them. And yeah, so she doesn't like the fact that Anakin's trying to decide her life for her, and it's clear in this episode. So we're starting to see that change in Ahsoka as well.
And I would be a little sketchy about Anakin being in charge of my life after a certain point.
Yeah, because this is we're in chronological order now, and so this does take place right after Mortis. And so after all that and seeing... See, because that was my thing, because I thought, you know, they had forgotten about the Mortis arc, but no, they remember everything about the Mortis arc.
Yeah, Anakin's the only one who got his memory wiped.
Yeah, and he only got his mind wiped about the Vader stuff, so he remembers it too. And now he's, like, walking around knowing that he's the Chosen One. So, I mean, it's kind of... Though I will say, somebody did write us back that Anakin was in the room in The Phantom Menace when they were discussing him as the Chosen One as a child.
Right, yes.
Yeah, I think it was Gene. I don't have him in front of me, but Gene left that comment on our Mortis arc episode. But yeah, like, it's interesting, like, because pretty much from here on out, Ahsoka is either going to be following orders or doubting everything. And I think that puts her in a really unique position. And I think it works right, too. We're right about the halfway point of Clone Wars, because this is end of season 3. We pretty much have gotten through 3 seasons, and there's 3 more seasons after this. So this is like the very middle part of Clone Wars. And so I like seeing that she's getting this kind of development and starting to get into the position, because everything after this, to me, will be pushing her away from the Order.
I'm very interested to see this part. I know I've definitely, when we were talking about like how far I've gotten, I definitely think I've gotten through season 3, because all of this is starting to get more familiar, especially now that fucking Tarkin showed up.
Fucking Tarkin. So yeah, this is the new Wet Blanket Windu. Fucking Tarkin. we'll just call him fucking for short. Fucking, because fucking and Tarkin kind of rhyme.
We need a buddy episode with the two of them.
Oh, actually, I think they would probably get a lot of shit done.
It would be great, yeah.
Because, you know, Tarkin would take care of the military side, Windu would take care of the parkouring, there'll be no joking or bantering, they'd just be them, they would show up silently, do the job, and then walk out, and they're done. That'd be the shortest episode of Clone Wars ever. So, yeah. But, I don't have anything else for Act 1, do you?
No, what about Windu, what about if you threw Windu, Tarkin, and then threw Jar Jar in?
Ooh, because we already kind of have that.
Talk
there
about
is...
some tension.
Can we just have Jar Jar and Tarkin and don't even put Windu in there?
Jarkin!
I would totally love to see a Jarkin episode, because That would be great, because there's absolutely nothing Darkin can do, because he's a Senate representative. So, like, he could, like, throw him in an airlock and, like, leave. Oh my gosh, now
if
I really wish
that
there was...
If you ship the two of them, that would be called Jarkin, right?
Yes, Jarkin. Ugh.
Jarkin porn.
Oh, Act 2. Ready to move on after that monstrosity?
Of course.
What would their children look like? That, like, bug gargoyle face that Tarkin has, but
they
then Jar Jar's
brought up
tongue...
with mixed signals, for sure.
And then Jar Jar's tongue comes out of his mouth, just like... Alright, so...
Misa
actually...
have the softest skin!
Misa gonna blow up your planet! What's the old joke? I mean, at least Tarkin wiped out unemployment on Alderaan.
Yeah.
I love that joke, anyway. Act 2. R2 leads his group of droids and flies them all to the Citadel. Upon arrival, the warden, O.C. Sobek, is like, if there's so much a bug... What? Oh, if there's so much a bug on that ship that's alive, I want it blown up. We can't let the Jedi get any closer to Master Peel. And the Citadel scans R2's ships for life forms. It's a few tense moments, but they find no life forms on the ship. Anakin's crazy plan worked. Sobek monologues to the droids, telling them about how he specializes in fear or whatever, and we see that they're torturing Master Peel. Our heroes land their ship near the prison, and R2 and the battle droids unfreeze everyone. As they recover from the process, Anakin says, "Oh, hey, Snips, wait a fucking second." Ahsoka snuck onto the ship after freezing herself too, and Anakin is pissed. And Ahsoka is like, "Well, after you were in Carbonite, I got permission from Master Plo to come along, and since you were a wall decoration, you couldn't argue, so hi everyone, I'm on the mission now." And Anakin is like, "I gave you specific orders not to come." And Ahsoka is like, "Well, you're the one who taught me how to break orders all the time." And Obi-Wan is just enjoying himself and says, "Oh, Anakin, being a master to a Padawan is so hard. Welcome aboard, Ahsoka." And Anakin's all like, "Gosh, Obi-Wan is so stupid. You do it so much better." Anakin has R2 guard the ship, and the heroes head out for the Citadel. They come to the prison along a ridge, and right away they meet a lot of problems. They can't fly with jetpacks to the access point because of the wind. There are electro mines, so they can't use ascension cables to climb up the wall. And they're going to have to free climb up the sides of the cliff and pray they don't fall off. They make the dangerous climb, and Obi-Wan reaches the platform first. Roller death ball droids come out, and Anakin and Obi-Wan ducks down, signaling everyone to hold their position. The droids head back in, but they raise shield and lock the door so our heroes can't get in. Except there's a small air duct leading inside, and Ahsoka is like, "I'm a tiny person, I can fit. Good thing I snuck on board, huh, Master?" And Anakin is all like, "Fine, I'm happier here, get up there." And she successfully opens the door and getting them all inside. Meanwhile, Warden Sobek's droids pick up that R2's cargo ship never checked in. Sobek's all like, "Yes, I smell bullshit afoot." And at the same time, our heroes get up on the platform. A clone trooper named Charger slips off the rock face and falls into an electro mine, setting off the alarm. Sobek puts the entire facility on lockdown and calls in his special units, a group of assassin droids. Now our heroes must face the trials of the Citadel.
The trials of the Citadel.
So yeah, I would be pretty pissed off too if I was Anakin and had Ahsoka going over my head too.
Yeah, for sure. I'm surprised he gave up on... Well, I mean, once she was there, you know?
Yeah.
That's sort really of the Jedi nothing. Way is like, we'll argue about this later, but I would have been pissed. It's just like...
I mean... The only thing he could have probably done had been like, "Well, Ahsoka, you're staying on the ship with R2.
You see, but that's the thing, yeah, but, like, the way going over his head like that isn't really the way Anakin would have done it, you know?
Yeah.
That's more like, you know, like, "Can I stay over at Billy's? And Mom said I could," you know, that sort of thing.
You know, I was actually just thinking it's kind of like a political, almost like a Padme thing to do, because I think Padme has gone over Anakin's head and talked to Obi-Wan instead about things.
Yeah, it's
The ones on the council. So I mean, I know. Oh, she
Anakin would have just done it. He would have just like popped in there and been like, "Oh, sorry, I just was hanging around and like was like, oh, I got too close to that old freezing
carbon
chamber,
freezer.
And yeah, and here I am, you know, and that would have been that." But
then it makes me much more happy that like Ahsoka learned to go over dad's head by through mom's teachings. Padme and Anakin are such good parents to Ahsoka.
Right.
She learned well, and then there's Uncle Obi-Wan encouraging all of it.
Very, very responsible parents. There's a lot of responsible parenting in Star Wars. It's all about responsible parenting. You know what I love, though? I love half-planets. In space movies. And even though, like, I don't think you could, I just don't think a half planet would actually be, like, rotating and have gravity and all that stuff. They look beautiful, and it's always great to see a planet with a big chunk taken up.
They would still have their gravity. I just feel like it'd be kind of distorted or, like, more oval-shaped.
It doesn't seem like it would hold a good orbit, you know? It seems like it would have an unstable orbit and an unstable, you know, rotation and all that, and it would just sort of probably be not a useful thing to operate from. But I don't care. It's space, you know, so it looks pretty, so I don't need to know. You know, maybe they have some technology that compensates it so it rotates well or whatever. I don't care. It looks great. I love seeing it. And I love we're back to color. We've got a yellow and purple color scheme going in this one, like real strong with like a lot of times half the screen yellow and half the screen purple and stuff. It was just very vibrant. The scene where they're climbing up the wall. And, you know, and the flames below them is just graphically really beautiful.
I like that in opposed to inside the prison, which is very stark and white.
Right, right.
Yeah, like it's so pretty because, like, when we're not there yet, but in Act 3, like, Anakin cuts a hole in the wall and they climb out and they go from stark white to, like, purple and yellow again. It is really pretty.
It's the classic, you know, prison put in the middle of a hostile evil environment that, like, okay, you can break out, but where are you gonna go?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I like the warden. His delivery is like half Christopher Lloyd, you know, from like Back to the Future, and half like Christopher Walken.
I said he sounds to me like Igor in most Frankenstein movies. He's, like the yes, master.
He's got a little of that, you know, stuttered, paused speech of Christopher Walken, but, like, he's got the, like, sort of more scratchy voice of Christopher Lloyd, sort of, too. And, I mean, Christopher Lloyd in himself is a very Igor sort of, like, character anyway, so, yeah, I like it. And he's got, his face is sort of like both of them, too, and a little Igor-like. He's a little Igor and mad scientist mixed together in his visual.
Yeah, with kind of like an evil sort of. I just like that he starts monologuing to droids. Like they don't care.
What was the last mad scientist? Was a tall, skinny guy too. Yeah.
Oh, what was his name? I forgot. Oh no, it was similar to Yosef Mengele. It was like Dr. Mengele or something. Because I remember us talking about Yosef Mengele when we did that episode, the Blue Shadow Virus episodes.
But that's all I got on this one. Lovely colors and nice visuals.
And like the wardens.
Yes, I do like the warden. He does a lot of cringiness too, where he's sort of bent over with his hands in front of him gesturing and stuff. So it's got a little Grievous going in there too.
Oh, he is kind of Grievous-y, isn't he? We haven't seen Grievous in a while.
No. I miss the little guy.
I think the last time we saw Grievous was the second episode of the series when him and Ventress were attacking Kamino.
Yep.
That was the last time we saw Grievous. I don't even know when we're going to see him again.
When he was sending out his kamikaze droids.
Yeah. Anyway, so actually, I've already said most of my notes. Sebek sounds like Igor. I wish it's nice to have the battle droids on the hero side because they're a lot of fun. sneaky, sneaky Ahsoka coming along. Anakin shouldn't be so upset. She's only doing what Anakin taught her. But also, I just really like how supportive Obi-Wan is of Ahsoka. I think his confidence in her comes from a teacher and non-attachment place. Anakin always has had attachment issues with Ahsoka, which is why he didn't want her to come, because he personally just doesn't want to lose her. And Obi-Wan doesn't have that. Like, he just sees her as a fellow Jedi that's there and thinks she's perfectly capable and confident.
And so lucky she was there.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just like that, like, Obi-Wan is, like, more supportive of Ahsoka, like, in a teacher way, opposed to Anakin is just like, oh my god, I don't want you to die, but, like...
Well,
like,
Obi-Wan's that sort of go-with-the-flow-of-the-force sort of guy, and, like, Ahsoka was, like, a change in the plans, but then when they got there, the change in the plans being that, you know, they couldn't get in anywhere else other than that vent sort of dovetailed perfectly with Ahsoka's change of plans, so it was very, like, very the will of the Force, you know, sort of thing.
Though I do like the idea of, like, poor Rex trying to, like, squeeze into that tiny vent and just getting stuck, and he's just like, ah!
He would have had to take his armor off and grease down, Hope.
Yeah, I know. And he would just slip right in there like a dolphin on a SeaWorld show. Slide right across.
He would have come out of there like a baby calf giving birth.
Or like April the giraffe giving birth.
Yes.
Oh.
That is more timely, yes.
I would have been very happy to see a stripped down, greased up Rex just
That's why I brought it up.
Thank you. You treat me so well, Chris.
Hey, no problem.
So friends are four. All right, Act 3.
Act 3 already, wow.
Yeah, like, I mean, the majority of my biggest notes were in Act 1, because pretty much the rest of this episode is a big fight.
Just action, yeah.
So there's not, like, a lot of, like, let me talk about the deep character work of, like, Anakin in the middle of this battle scene. So.
It's kind of a relief after the last three episodes, to be perfectly honest.
I feel that way, too, so... All right, here we go, Act 3. Well, the heroes are in a pickle, with all the alarms going off, and Warden Sobek knows something is going down, because it's going down for real. They take out the surveillance cameras, but it sets off some wall blasters, so they shoot out the wall blasters, which sets off even more traps. And a wall of electricity races down towards them, and they flee, but one poor clone trooper named Longshot wasn't fast enough, and was caught up in the blast wall. The clones and the Jedi have no choice but to leave him and keep moving. In his jail cell, Master Peel is getting tortured for information, but not breaking. Before the droid can take out his good eyes, actual cinnamon rolls, Echo and Fives, kick in the door and they shoot up all the droids. So hooray for the Domino Squad! Yay! Obi-Wan and Anakin free Master Peel and hand him a spare lightsaber. Master Peel is all like, "What took you ladies so long to get here?" And Anakin says that his humor is still intact. Peel reveals that he only has half of the coordinates of the Nexus route. For safety reasons, his captain has the other half of them, which is something they didn't plan for. Since now they have to say Captain Peel's captains and officers too, they're going to need a new exit plan. Moving through the hallways looking for their other officers, the heroes are ambushed by assassin droids, which they quickly take out. Warden Sobek pulls another dick trap and magnetizes the ceiling, pulling all their weapons and Anakin up to the ceiling with it, because he has a metal hand. He then electrifies the ceiling, shocking the crap out of Anakin in the process. With no weapons, more assassin droids show up. Obi-Wan, Peel, and Ahsoka uses the Force to push them back, but the droids have magnetized feet. The Jedi keep pushing them back while the clones attack the droids in hand-to-hand combat. Anakin is able to get his lightsaber and cut the magnets off the ceiling, dropping everyone's weapons. They quickly take out the other droids, and just to rub some salt into Sobek's ego, Rex turns to the camera and with a badass authority, shoots it out. Because Rex hasn't done a lot this season, and I just liked that. They find the holding cell with Peel's officer, and among them is his captain, fucking Tarkin. Fucking Tarkin is all snooty, like, "Well, how do you expect us to get out of this one with the Jedi messing it up and making it impossible for us to escape?" And Obi-Wan comes up with a plan. They'll just split up and cause a diversion. Fucking Tarkin will go with one group, and Master Peel will go with the other group. That way, if one group is captured, the enemy would only have part of the information. And fucking Tarkin is just all like, the plan is stupid, and we should all stick together, cause safety in numbers. And Master Peel is like, you're stupid, I'm going with Obi-Wan's plan. You stay with your future Vader BFF Anakin Skywalker and get really acquainted. Obi-Wan's group flees the hallways, and Commander Cody and his men set up bombs along the hallway. Sobek finds his prisoners missing and realizes that they're trying to steal a transport ship. He sets up all his men to head up that way to meet them. Obi-Wan and his men blow up the corridor to keep people from following them. Using the super old map, Anakin finds a place in the hallway and cuts a hole out to a ridge. It's an old original tunnel from when the fortress was first built, and the always information-loving Echo notes that it's part of the perk of having old archive data, because Echo is a nerd. Anakin's all like, hey Tarkin, the plan seems to be working. And fucking Tarkin is like, and when your plan fails, I am concerned about that. And Anakin's like, dude, you just want to suck the joy out of everything. And fucking Tarkin is like, just wait till I suck the joy out of Alderaan in 20 years. And then they continue on their way. The end.
Fucking Tarkin, or as I like to call him, Farkin.
Farkin!
He's a wet blanket too, man. The guy's on his way to getting tortured. He's in prison, and now he's getting rescued, and he gets to be free again to be an asshole, and he's just griping about it. You got Jedis and clones coming to bust you out. You're like, wouldn't you be like, hey guys, you're a sight for sore eyes.
He's being a big old bitch about the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's a big old bitch.
Obviously, whatever he was doing got him in the Citadel, and whatever they were doing got him out of the Citadel, so, or was in the process of getting him out, or was doing more for getting him out than what he was doing, which was sitting on his ass waiting to get tortured.
I wonder how he views the clones. I bet he sees them as, like, a lesser species just to aid them.
Yeah, they're just pawns to him, I'm sure.
Yeah, what a jerk.
I hate him.
I hate Tarkin too.
I gotta say though, I hate him, but I love seeing him. You know, I was so I remember how excited I was. I like when he showed back up in episode 3. It was like, all right, that's cool and a little weird. But when he showed up in this, you know, as a living, breathing dick of a character, I was just like, yes, because it makes sense in the timeline, and it's kind of neat to that he's one of those people like Yularen who transitioned into the Empire and, you know, started off with Anakin in the early. It makes a lot of sense, and so it was really neat. I mean, I was equally as excited when he turned around in Rogue One too. So I'm always glad to see him, even though he's a dick.
That was one of my notes too. I said, like Admiral Yularen, who went to the Empire. It makes sense for me to me that Tarkin got his start with the Republic and just switched regimes. Though I think for me, like with Yularen, it hurts more because we see that he likes the Jedi and he gets along with them and he's like really happy to be with the Jedi and he like works with them, even though sometimes he's just like Skywalker and stuff, but he like really gets along. And then seeing him in Rebels, I was just like, did you forget your Jedi friend, you fucking bastard?
Here's the thing, he's already getting his little man crush, his little Tarkin grumpy man crush on Anakin. Here's something I never really considered. Do you think he knows that Darth Vader is Anakin?
Oh, like in the future?
When he's hanging out with Darth Vader in Star Wars, you know, I mean, he knew Anakin and stuff, but I mean, is it public knowledge that Anakin got put into the Darth Vader suit? I don't think it is, you know?
It's not public knowledge. I know that much.
Anakin knows who Tarkin is, but Tarkin doesn't know who Anakin is.
I'm checking, because there's a very short list of people who know that Anakin is Vader. I don't know if Tarkin's on that short list, though. Does Tarkin...
No. I mean, he could be in the way the stories have gone, because that would explain why he and Vader are BFFs in Star Wars. You know, they've worked together and they have a warm spot for each other. But even if he doesn't know that that's Anakin, he might just like warm to that style of, you know, he still recognizes some of the characteristics in Vader that warmed him to Anakin or something like that, but
I don't know if he is Someone just said that.
Well, that's something. Maybe that's something the listeners can bring to Facebook.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is an exchange from episode 4. Vader says he is here, and Tarkin says, Obi-Wan Kenobi, what makes you think so? And Darth Vader says, a tremor in the Force. The last time I felt it is in the presence of my old master. And so if Vader says that Obi-Wan is his old master...
It's evidence towards it. It's not... I wouldn't say it's definite, but that's definitely...
Yeah. In the Tarkin novel, which is canon, the Tarkin novel that at one point in the Tarkin novel, he's thinking about Darth Vader and his identity. Tarkin interacted with Anakin before the Clone Wars. He knows his missions and records, and he also is supposed to be dead after Order 66. Tarkin is very smart, and based on this information, he is quite certain that Anakin is Darth Vader, even though he's not 100% sure.
Okay.
Then if he does have some vague suspicions of how Anakin dies, quote-unquote, and Vader suddenly appears but is smart enough not to say anything about it, Anakin and Obi-Wan were famous by episode 3, so knowing Obi-Wan's name is not surprising, especially if Palpatine made it at least know that the high ranking that they were Jedi who had survived Order 66. He has inklings, but he's not 100% sure, but he's also just not saying anything.
I too love the shot of the cameras getting blasted, not to just wheel into another subject.
No, that's totally fine, because I could talk about Rex and how great he was shooting out. That was just such a moment, like everybody else is running and Rex just pauses, points his blaster, and just shoots out the camera.
And they look just like the cameras in the Death Star in Star Wars, too. It's just a nice little reference back to Han Solo and Chewie blasting out the cameras when they first go into the prison in the Death Star.
I have a thing about... Okay, I've never understood this concept of shooting out surveillance cameras in shows and movies. Because to me, like, that gives away their position.
It gives away your position, but I guess it doesn't record who you are. You know, it takes a record of who you are out.
Yeah, but the thing is like, if you're watching every camera and, like, one suddenly goes out, it's like, I wonder where they are.
I always like it better in the movie where they hack the camera, which I don't even know if it's possible, but, you know, they'll hack the camera so it just, they'll record a couple of seconds of blank hallway and then loop it so they can walk under and stuff. That's always a better...
See, that's what I like, but, like, I just never like blasting out cameras because it's just like, that one went out. I bet they're there. Like, I've never understood that concept.
Yeah, you could follow a little map of where they are by how as the cameras get blasted out. But, you know, I also figure when people are doing that they have it figured into their heist. So they're like, yeah, they're going to know about us anyway, but if we blast the cameras out, they won't know who we are. And
that's true, because they probably have records of, like, I know we've seen other tactical droids that are like, Anakin Skywalker, he's prone to do this, and this. So, I mean, at least they wouldn't know what Jedi, because, like, I'm sure Anakin and Obi-Wan are very different from, say, like, if it was Quinlan Voss and Aya Sukara breaking in, so.
Right, it's like having Dirty Harry come and arrest you, or it's like having Dog the Bounty Hunter come in to arrest you rather than just Joe Bounty Hunter, you know?
Yeah.
But, I like, one-eyed Yoda Chucky's voice. He's totally Boris Badenoff, Russian, cheesy Russian accent, total like moose and squirrel type of accent, which it goes well with his face. He has a grumpy, like, middle, you know, European sort of just like, bah, give me some vodka, you know?
Yeah. I don't think we've seen a Jedi like him before, like, kind of grumpy and just like, because most of the Jedi are just like Yoda or Obi-Wan.
He's the Mad-Eye Moody of the Jedi.
That's a very good way of putting it.
He kind of looks like Mad-Eye Moody, you know?
Oh, does that make Obi-Wan Ramus? No! Obi-Wan is totally...
I don't know
totally
if it could go that far.
And Anakin is totally Sirius Black.
He is seriously black.
Blackheart like Vader. Mm-hmm. But, like, he's kind of, like, the crazy one that gets, like, goes and is all mad. But, like, but Obi-Wan is totally Ramus. He's kind of a nerd, and he kind of looks like a little wolf anyway. Like, I just want to pet his head.
And I like the magnetic aspect that they added onto it. It was, like, a new twist to, remember, I think it was season 2, where they had a couple zero-G fights, where the gravity got turned off.
Yeah.
This reminded me of that, because then all of a sudden you got to see them use the Force with Magnet. I love how they were trying to push the droids back, but you could see the resistance of them being stuck to the ground. It was very tactile and neat and Star Warsy.
Yeah, because, like, they kept pushing it, and, like, all the clones could do it. Like, well, I guess we'll punch our fists, and, like, the Jedi were holding them down while they were punching them. My thing about that is I always forget that Anakin has a metal arm, like, just because it's not, like, a very prominent thing. So, like, when Anakin flew up there, I was just like, oh, yeah, Anakin has a metal hand. Of course he's going to get pulled up to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Because they did that with the Zilla Beast episode when they used the glorified EMP and it moved through, like, for a short while, Anakin's hand short-circuited for a few minutes. And because he looked down at his hand and he had to, like, shake his hand off and stuff. So I just always like little things like that, because I always forget that Anakin has a metal hand. So I always appreciate those moments, because it's really nice that you don't forget that, too. Because, you know, if Anakin didn't fly to the ceiling, some fan would be like...
8 million nerds would have been to the internet on that one, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's all my notes I got on the third part.
Okay, so my first note is, stupid Tarkin with his dumb, ugly face and evil, stupid jerkness. That was my first note.
Yay!
We get real deep here on Jake and Jedi. Stupid Tarkin. So we are in agreement that we're just going to call him, like, fucking Tarkin or Farkin from here on out, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm down with that. I already said my Yularen note. And kind of what you were touching on, as much as I hate Tarkin, I can see how this early on he has doubts and doesn't like the Jedi that much. It makes me kind of wonder, like, when he joined, I've never read the Tarkin novel, I have no urge to read the Tarkin novel, because I don't think I could sit through, like, 200 pages of fucking Tarkin, but it makes me wonder,
read it.
You know, they weren't really generals before this war, so I'm sure Tarkin was, like, in the military and stuff like that, and then this war starts, and now he has Jedi generals. I bet that's a bit of a blow to him, and he's just probably like, oh, that sucks. Why do I have to listen to these, like, hippies? These damn hippies are now leading the war. And so it's interesting to see how Tarkin and Anakin don't get along either, just how Vader and Tarkin didn't get along in A New Hope, because Anakin was always just, like, very much the Force believer, and Tarkin believes in the strength of military.
It reminds me of Raiders of the Lost Ark in a lot of ways. You've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, right?
A very, very long time ago. Please refresh my memory.
At the very end of it, the Nazis are sitting there, but they have a French... archaeologists that they've gotten to find the Ark, and they probably, you know, a lot of the Nazis are probably not too keen on the French guy in the first, but they have to do a Jewish ceremony to open up the Ark. So you have all these Nazis sitting around going like, whatever, you know, we're under orders, but this is, I don't know if this is too kosher, but I guess... Guess it is too kosher. This is a little too kosher, but you know, but they're gonna go along with it because they've made this alliance and stuff, and that's how I feel Tarkin is with the Jedi, you know, and like he probably just flat out hates Obi-Wan, but like Anakin, you know, as we'll see in the future, they get a little bit of a little bromance going. So like Tarkin has a weird like, yeah, I hate the Jedi, but that Anakin guy, he had some good points to him.
Yeah. And I just like how Anakin just flat out calls out Tarkin. He's just like, excuse you, we saved you.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, perhaps you'd like to stay back in your cell, Your Highness.
Yeah, so I liked that. And I think that was probably what, like, you know, I'm sure all the Jedi that, like, you know, I can see why Tarkin's with Master Peele. Because Master Peele's kind of like that tough guy, Mad-Eye Moody, and kind of different from say, like, Plo Koon and Obi-Wan and Yoda and Windu. They're all kind of the same, but they have, like, subtle differences, but they all have, like, the general same feel, while Anakin and Peele are both, like, more gruff and rough and tumble and stuff. So I could see why Tarkin definitely likes those two, and it probably got paired up with those two a lot more. The only other note I had is this episode has a really abrupt ending. It just ends.
It just stops, yeah.
And I think this is the first time in these 3 to 4 episode arcs where it just ends suddenly. Because at least with the Night Sister trilogy and the Mortis arc, the episodes have a beginning, middle, and the end. And this one just ends. It's just like, we cut a hole in the wall.
I think it worked better when it originally aired, ending like that, because, like, right now, I mean, when it originally aired, we'd gotten, like, that one shot of Tarkin looking out at the Death Star under construction with Darth Vader, but that was just sort of, like, oh, a little Easter egg shot. This was a pretty big deal. This was like, oh, we're gonna get Grand Moff, you know, a character from Star Wars in there. So this was, like, the reveal of him is right at the end, and then it's just like, yeah, he's gonna be hanging out with Anakin. The end! Ta-da! And now we're sort of, I mean, we just saw Tarkin brought back to life in a movie, so it's like, oh, okay, here's Tarkin, let's get to some Tarkin action. But when this was like sort of like a reveal, you know, and it was just like, now you got Tarkin, but think about that for till next week, you know. And I think it worked better when it was fresh than now.
Especially now, like, in the day of Netflix, like, you could sit down and watch all three episodes in, like, an hour.
Yes.
Like all three Citadel episodes in, like, 1 hour. So it's just one of those things that, like, the times have changed. But this, I was just more noting, like, this is the first time where it's just like, and it ends. So, yeah. Well, that's all I have for Act 3. Did you have anything else?
Nope.
All right, so how do you score the episode, my friend?
Back into the decent numbers. I really like this episode. Maybe it's coming from the Mortis arc, but I just there were so many fun things in here between R2 leading droids and just not only a nice little rescue, but. And I know this sounds sadistic, but we get to see, you know, it's got that added realism. There's some clones get wiped out in this one. They fuck up and bite it in this one, and it gives it a little extra, edge to it.
And then I think the one that gets me is next week. They're trying to climb up through these chutes, and the warden is closing these safety doors on them, and a clone just gets caught in the middle and just gets cut in half.
Yeah.
Like, and it's real now. We're back to the war.
We're back to PG-13 and not Dungeons and Dragons, and I'm liking it. And I was happy to see Tarkin. Because I remember I really like the Tarkin stuff in this. It reminds me of when Dooku gets chained up to Obi-Wan and Anakin. Type of stuff. We're gonna get a little bit of Odd Couple going on in the future, and I like it. So I'm giving this one an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. For me, I've always liked the Citadel arc, and it's one of the few arcs that I love because there's just more plot and action over character work. There's just not a lot of character work in this, but I still like it a lot. And while we do see some of that with, like, Fives and Ahsoka, this is just a fun battle romp. It's fun. And, of course, the big thing is bringing in fucking Tarkin and the Clone Wars. And while I hate the character, it's, like, a really important thing for Clone Wars to do because it makes sense. Like, him and Yularen in there. It makes sense for him and Yularen to be in Clone Wars when they were there later and to see their origins. And that's important and stuff like that. So I give it a 7.5 out of 10, so.
Ooh, I'm actually higher than you. Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
in a clone center, like, in an episode with Rex in it, too.
I know, I am so happy to have, like,
but it's got Farkin in it, too, so there you go.
Well, I'd love to hate Tarkin. That's the thing. Like, he's a character I'd love to hate. But I was thinking about it, because you know how in our season recaps, I always do my, like, Rexvolution recap?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of Rex in this season.
That's, yeah.
So sorry. I'm going to have to. I'm already kind of just thinking about, like, what Rex did in his days off when they were on Mortis. What did Rex do in those days off? Well, he went and got a massage, and then he played some water polo. So, it'll be fun. I've been thinking about that already. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback. You can leave us feedback on iTunes, which helps people find the show. So if you rate and review us on iTunes, it puts us up a little higher in the podcasting thing. And so if you want to help us out, make sure to leave us a review on iTunes. You can also leave us feedback on Twitter or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. And so I did something a little different. Usually our feedback comes from our Facebook page, but I got feedback from our friend John Wilson, who I think, because it wasn't linked to any of my tweets for the episode. So I think John was reacting to us talking about the Son of Dathomir comics.
Is this via Twitter?
Yeah, this is all from Twitter.
Okay, so I haven't read this before.
Yeah, so if I'm reading this correctly, John is making suggestions of books or comics that he would like us to review for the show. So, this is all from Twitter. Thank you, John. Take it away, Chris.
Okay, John Wilson says, You have mentioned, it says Sound Son of Dathomir on the show. I don't know what that means, but you have mentioned...
I think he meant some Son of Dathomir.
You've mentioned some of Son of Dathomir on the show. I vote for doing it, and Dark Disciple is a coda to the show. And those are books, right?
Son of Dathomir is a Darth Maul comic.
Comic, yes, right.
And Dark Disciple is actually what I'm reading right now, and it would have been the last 8 episodes of season 6 if it wasn't cut short. So it would have been 8 episodes of season 6, and I'm reading it at the moment. It's good. It's Ventress and Quinlan Vos team up.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it's them trying to assassinate Count Dooku. So
unsuccessfully, we know.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then he says, then if you want to move into Rebels, I vote for opening with a new Dawn and doing the related comics like Kanan. I love the Kanan comics.
I really want to read a new Dawn too. It's how Kanan and Hera met.
Ah.
I really want to read that too.
My suggestion is doing Rebels related comics or books in chunks, roughly where they came out relative to the episodes. Ooh, that would be fun. Oh shit! Since I'm making a Christmas list out of your lives. Maybe the Ahsoka novel at some point. Okay, that's all.
I've read the Ahsoka novel. It's excellent.
The novels are a hard sell for me, but if I have to do them for a show, I'm more likely to read them. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I'm still working through... I'm kind of taking a break on Dark Disciple because I'm reading something else for research purposes for my book. I'm reading Watchmen for the first time. Oh, no, my candy, come back! Because I've never read it before, so I'm reading it as a... Because my beta reader, as she's reading my novel, just kept going, Hope, you really got to read Watchmen. Your book has a lot of Watchmen elements to it. And then also, working at a comic book store, they're doing a crossover with Batman and The Flash right now, and they're explaining why Watchmen... How Dr. Manhattan pretty much ended the New 52 and started Rebirth. So they're finally exploring that in DC Comics. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to finally read Watchmen. And I'm about three issues into it, and I'm really enjoying it so far.
It's a great comic. When it came out, it was revolutionary.
Yeah.
And it's been copied a lot since then, but it's still a great read.
I mean, because it's not quite my cup of tea. I don't usually read, like, comics like that, so it's taken me a little bit longer than normal than I would normally read a comic, because I really enjoy it, but it's just really heavy and dense and kind of gory.
Why can't I remember the name of it? That it was also made into a movie where the Guy Fawkes mask came from.
V for Vendetta.
V for Vendetta is like, have you read that before?
I've read it a very long time ago, in college.
It's a good one. It's a good one to read along with that and Watchmen are like the two like peaks of Alan Moore comic writing, I think. And they're sort of in similar sort of satirical veins.
Actually, I don't know if I've ever finished V for Vendetta, now that I think about it, because I was borrowing it for a friend and I was in college, but I think the semester ended. I don't know if I ever finished V for Vendetta, now that I think about it.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah. That might be next.
You know what's next, though?
Yeah.
It's candy time.
They crunkle it.
For all you people wondering what that crinkly sound was.
Chris is a big baby and hates American Kit Kats and think they suck and that they're the devil and that.
Not a big baby. I'm absolutely right on that. As you've had some of the Kit Kats from the other side now, so you know.
He thinks that like American Kit Kats need the priest because they're of the devil.
Well, now speaking of the devil, we alerted our friend Dario Gonzalez to that fact, and now he just sends us candy until we're going to be like both diabetics.
Yeah,
we're not even going out of America today. I picked a pure. He sent us a mix. We got a Godiva candy, a creme brulee truffle.
And
I think Godivas are made in the United States.
I think it's Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
I lost my little note that Dario sent to all of our...
He had nothing to say about the Godiva. It's just thrown in.
Yeah, but Dario is a flight attendant, and he sends us Candy. And he's also Chris's co-podcaster for Eat It and Beat It. So I'm going to eat this and then beat it.
Uh-huh. There we go. Creme brulee truffle. Oh, dear. Sweet Jesus.
I like sucking on them. And then when the outside goes down, the cream comes out.
Well, this chocolate is so soft, it's like just turning it molten just in my fingers, so it's like I'm definitely melting your mouth. Mm. Mm. It's got that, well, it is caramelized because it's caramel, but it's got that extra, not burnt, but, you know, extra bit of boo. Oh my god, it's just drippy and stretchy.
There's very fine crunchiness on it,
this
too.
This might
very
be my first Godiva's chocolate.
Really?
Yeah.
Mmm, I love Godiva chocolate.
I bought them for people as presents before back in the day, but... Mmm. There's a little, like, crunchiness to it, too.
That's what I was just saying. There's, like, tiny, like, little crunchy bits in it, but it's so fine. It only tastes like there's, like, five of them in there.
Yeah. Mmm. Just almost like when you get those toffee candy. Oh,
just
that was good.
Just enough to add a low texture.
Yeah, Dario just... When I got this package with all these candies in it, I got an Eat It pack. I got two packages from Dario the same day. The first one was an Eat It package that was full of candies, various candies, and the other one was a Beat It package full of dirty cartoon magazines from the 70s and 60s called Sex to Sexty, and they're all full of like dirty jokes and raunchy cartoons.
So I must say, before we started, from Dario, I also got a Stroopwafel, which I think is from Germany, and I ate that over my cup of coffee, and that was equally as good because I was just like, yeah, Stroopwafels.
Yeah, so they're the guys, you put them over the edge of your coffee mug and they get soft.
But my thing is that I have
like
big
Yoda
coffee mugs. I have really, really big coffee mugs, so it wouldn't sit there. So I just dumped it in there and
yeah.
ate it.
Yeah. Why get too fancy? We're too classy here.
But thank you, Daria. We always appreciate it. You're the best. Well, I don't have anything else. Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, as a podcast website that's linked to iTunes. You can get all our podcasts off iTunes, or you can get them off the website. The website has our handy dandy Amazon link, so that's always good.
And it also has our like photo pictures that Chris does so well to Photoshop and everything.
The Photoshops, yep. And it doesn't it seem like almost every episode, but we've added another podcast to the Two True Freaks Network.
Good Lord. What's new this time?
Mike Zumo's podcast, The Man of Screen. So it's a Superman podcast of Superman on TV.
Oh,
or on the screen,
cool.
You know, or on, you know, movies and TV. I imagine, actually, literally, the vast majority is on TV. But, yeah, so that's an area we have never covered. And Mike Zumo's a great guy. I actually got to meet him last summer at Dario's. He hung out and was eating barbecue with all the freaks. Thomas DJ was there, Scott Gardner was there, Paul was there, Hair Metal Hero was there, Gerard De La Tour II was there. It was fun. We're going to have another meeting this summer sometime. I don't know exactly when. I know you're not going to make it up, though.
You know what I would like a podcast of? You know how there was a while there, like the DC Universe shows, and they were all canon together?
Mm-hmm.
Someone going through, like, the beginning to the end of those, so it's, like, Batman Adventures and the Superman one and the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, and I think that would be a really cool podcast for our show.
Yeah,
and
that would take a little commitment, but it would be great.
Yeah, because, and really just from beginning to end, like, all those shows, in our... Just to go through all those.
But Also, you can find us on Facebook, the Two True Freaks on Facebook, a Two True Freaks Cantina, where you can go and talk shit. We got a bunch of our shows have their own individual little Facebook pages, which you can find off the Two True Freaks page, and it's just a whole community of weirdos, which we would like you to join. If you're listening, you probably already are all mixed up in it, and it's too late for you. Speaking of too late for you, what are you up to online these days, Hope Mullinex?
Sorry, I was throwing away a flea.
A flea?
I'm highly allergic to fleas, and my cat has been sitting on me, and it's about that time to put the monthly medicine on her.
Put the drops on.
Yep. Yeah, but that's like one of the two things I'm highly allergic to is horses and fleas. So I'm never gonna be a Disney princess because I can't ride horses.
Oh, fleas! Horses with fleas would be like the worst.
Yeah, so I had to go throw away a flea in the toilet because I'm highly allergic to them. Anyway, you can find me. I run our Twitter at JGuysAndJedi. You can also find me at Hope Mullinex, and I'm also the news writer for WhatTheFangirl.com. So just check us out over there and let me know what you think and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about him. I'm so excited.
He's never coming back.
I know, but still, it's fun to have the old throwbacks to like our old jokes, like the blue waffle virus.
Yes.
And stuff. For the classic J guys and Jedi people. So, for the old listeners and the new ones, if this is your first episode, that's a joke from the blue waffle virus thing.
Yeah, go ahead and Google it.
Google it. Yeah. Well, I guess until next time, you know, get ready for Citadel Part 2.
More Citadel. And I'm ready for more Citadel, let me tell you. I'm ready even for more Tarkin. More Farkin.
More fucking Tarkin. More Farkin.
No Jar Jarkin, though.
No Jerkin. Ew. And the little tongue comes out of his mouth, and he's just like, bleh, 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 bleh.
I just thought of some horrible marketing licensing for Star Wars is Grand Moff Tarkin Jar Jar Pickles instead of Gherkins or Jarkins. Yep, that would sell nothing.
Jarkins. I'm trying to sell them on Alderaan.
I guess we're going out on that horrible note.
He tries to sell pickles on Alderaan, and that's why he blows it up, because nobody buys his damn pickles.
He's an unsuccessful pickle merchant.
Oh, okay.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. Dumbass. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.